Hello and welcome to the Digiday podcast. I'm Kaylee Barber, media editor at Digiday.
And I'm Kamiko McCoy, senior marketing reporter here at Digiday.
Kamiko, it's been a busy couple of weeks in the digital advertising, marketing, media world. Lots of things going on, lots of changes, and not all good, not all bad. I don't know where to kind of land on them, but
agreed.
A lot has been happening.
I'd say one of the biggest news pieces right now is obviously Google. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you're also a reader of the Digiday website. And we had some pretty big news drop the other day about Google once again delaying its third-party cookies. And on top of that, they're in court right now for antitrust laws.
Yeah. Another cookie deprecation delay. I think like the reporting I've been doing generally from like the publisher's perspective is it's fine that there's another delay. They're still going to be working on cookieless solutions. But when it comes to like Privacy Sandbox as one of those solutions, it seems like there's a little bit of lost faith in it maybe, or there's not as much of a incentive to really be exploring there as much as they had been when it first launched. So yeah, I think there's a steep slope ahead for Google to figure out some of these issues that they're facing.
There's a shadow looming over the tech industry right now. They're going through a really tough time. There's been, now don't quote me on this, speculation about what's going to happen with with Apple as well, about some overhauling that they are seeing. Did you see that news?
Yeah, I think it was a Forbes report, right? Like they're launching possibly something called Web Eraser, which is meant to basically like scrub out display ads on Safari sites.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's a overhaul like that's happening here. Now, I don't think Apple themselves has confirmed this, but I don't know. This is something that we're seeing from Forbes. But there's overhaul happening. And if the rumors are true, then, you know, people have more privacy and more, I guess, consumers have more control over what appears on their news sites. Either way, tech is fighting. There's a lot of fronts happening here.
Yeah, it seems like there's a very strong head-to-head between tech and advertising right now. And yeah, again, I wonder how publishers are. Well, I feel like I can confidently say publishers will not be excited about that iOS update if it is in fact true. But I'm sure more reporting to come on that once it's substantiated or actually revealed.
Tech
is
fighting for its life.
Lots going on. Yeah, check out digiday.com for more updates. Your guest this week was Zach Kitschke, who's the CMO of Canva. And Canva, I have been using Canva. My friend group has kind of like a stan mentality around Canva. And I know that sounds really weird because it's like a online like design, web design, not web design, but like you could design like, I personally have used it for like resumes, yeah. But like my one friend literally made her entire wedding invite like suite on Canva and it looks amazing, but it's basically like a design kind of template website.
Yeah.
It's a very weird thing to be a fan of, but for whatever reason, my friend group has been using it religiously since college. Anyway, so you have their CMO on, and I'm interested in how they're focusing on growth. I know a lot of these companies kind of have like a little bit of a AI angle nowadays, but I don't know. I've always used it kind of like in a school, like an academic or like work setting, but I'm imagining that there's a lot of like consumer uses for it too. So I'm curious how Zach was talking about their marketing strategy for really pushing forward this tech platform.
I'll say in the world of tech and what's happening right now, Canva seems to be a bright spot here. They're in growth mode. I think they've enjoyed the luxury of being word of mouth. You know, I also was team Canva back in my social media editor days. I used Canva religiously. So they got, you know, for small business owners, college kids and things like that, even if people created for, like you said, wedding invites, birthday parties, all types of things. It's really handy. So they've enjoyed some real organic kind of grassroots word of mouth style advertising, which hasn't, I mean, obviously that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg if people are just talking about it, every marketer's dream, right? But yeah, they've enjoyed that for quite a while. But in my conversation with Zach, like every other company, they're in growth mode this year and they're focused on some global growth. So in the early days of their business, they were lucky to have the word of mouth adoption, but now they've got some brand awareness efforts going this year, pushing into streaming, out of home, digital audio, paid social. I've seen a couple. Have you seen any of their ads while you're watching TV? I've seen a couple.
I don't think I have. And it's, you say word of mouth, and that makes a lot of sense because I literally had only ever learned about it and really, I don't know, pushed it forward in literally in conversations with friends. Like, it's one of the most word of mouth kind of branding strategies I've ever really been a part of, I guess. So that is, yeah, I haven't seen any ads yet, but I feel like the algorithms are so good that after this goes live, I will start seeing those ads consistently.
I think what's interesting here is this is something that I wrote a story about maybe a couple of weeks ago, but essentially this idea that B2B businesses like Canva are taking a page out of the B2C marketing playbook and showing up in more consumer-facing channels. Now, I will say that they've been in flux with their CFO leaving ahead of its IPO, but you know, I think that was an interesting thing. I did ask Zach about that, so I won't spoil it, but it was a really good conversation, and I'm glad that he joined us. So I'm excited to let you guys hear it.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen. Take it away.
Thanks. Hi, Zach, and welcome to the DigiDay podcast. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to talk to you guys today. Canva is a beloved brand, especially by Gen Z creators, entrepreneurs, and that type of thing. So before we get into what I call the juicy scoop, I always like to start my conversations with a fun question. So I'm going to start with that. Is that cool?
Let's do it.
Okay. If you had to make a Canva presentation on one topic with no prep time, what could you make that presentation on? What would be your topic?
It would have to be top spots to swim in Sydney, I reckon.
What are the top spots?
We have some incredible beaches. I live here at Bondi, but there's some amazing ocean pools along the beach here. There's a great one at Coogee called Wiley's Baths, you know, over on the other side of the Sydney. The harbour's great too. So yeah, if anyone's ever coming to Sydney, hit me up and I'll give you the list.
With the presentation.
That's right.
Perfect. I think I would have to do my presentation on the Golden Girls. That is the one, any brain cells in my head, that's what they're dedicated to. Perfect. It's been a while. We've talked before, and I'm excited to reconnect with you. Obviously, a lot has changed since we last talked. So let's start high level, and you just kind of walk me through what's top of mind for Canva's marketing team right now. What are our business goals and kind of what are the marketing strategies in place to reach said goals?
It's been an incredibly exciting few years for us. We're at a really exciting point at the moment. Canva's grown tremendously. Even since we last spoke, the platform's used by over 170 million people now in all corners of the globe, for everything from presentation creation to whiteboards to documents to videos. So we've really grown as this all-in-one visual communication platform. And so for us this year, it's really about continuing to what's our mission, which is to empower the world to design. So we're still focused on really getting the word out, really focusing on reaching more people around the globe, a huge focus over the coming years, not just on, serving every individual, but also serving every organization. And of course, launching some great new AI features along the way too.
Talk to me a little bit about kind of what marketing strategies are in place to reach said goals. That's a big lofty goal.
It is. Yeah. We're really focused on a few things at the moment. So, one definitely being continuing to grow top line awareness of Canva. We've made some huge strides there over the past few years, but 170 million is just a drop in the ocean of the total population around the world. And we really believe that the visual communication is something that, you know, everyone really needs these days. And so, you know, huge ambition, you know, in that regard. So focusing on building awareness and sort of driving adoption of our products, you know, in the US, but also in sort of other markets around the world, places like India and Germany and Japan and through Europe as well. Number two, we are really doubling down on the workplace. Canva, you know, has really taken off in the past few years. Have been adopted now into 90% of the Fortune 500. So we're seeing more and more people use us, you know, whether it's marketing teams working on content and campaigns, you know, HR and internal comms, using Canva within the organization for collaboration and communication, sales, you know, out there, you know, in the pitch process in terms of improving their sales workflow. And of course, creative, you know, which is where, you know, we got started. So, you know, that's a huge focus, for us, this year as well. And so some really exciting things coming up. We've got our sort of brand campaign kicking off, in the next few weeks. So, that'll be live, across the US. We've got our marquee tentpole event, Canva Create, coming back in May. We've got a ton of incredible product launches that'll be happening there. It'll be our first time in LA as well. So lots of exciting stuff happening.
Absolutely. You guys are very, very busy. I think what's interesting about that, your role, is that it goes back to the beginning of Canva, back all the way in 2013. So would love to kind of get you to walk me through what are the biggest changes in Canva's marketing strategy? How are you guys adapting the strategy in a very quickly changing landscape?
Yeah, the world's changed so much in you know, the last decade. And I think Canva's growth's really been, you know, an exhibit of some of those trends. When we launched back in 2013, you know, it was a very small team. I was really fortunate to come in, you know, in a communications role, and so really cut my teeth leading Canva's PR and comms back then. And, you know, at that point, the problem that we'd identified was that design tools and visual communication was really limited to, you know, a very small group of people that could afford, you know, the expensive software at that point in time, you know, boxed software, Photoshop, InDesign, things like that, you know, had spent years learning how to design, and then, you know, the sort of cumbersome process to actually create something, you know, whether it was a document or an invitation or a piece of marketing collateral. And so we, you know, thought there should be a different way, and really design should be made accessible to everyone. And that was really what led us to launch Canva. So we launched back then, bought the design ecosystem into one place. So really easy, you know, drag and drop editing platform, a library of incredible templates, you know, stock photography, assets all there in one place, in a way that people could collaborate. And so, you know, that definitely resonated for our community, and we saw Canva really adopted, particularly for social media and content creation back then. And so, you know, fast forward today, we've really expanded the platform to be an all-in-one visual communication suite now. A lot of people don't know, but, you know, presentations is actually our largest use case. You know, things like whiteboarding, video creation, you know, even sort of website building. So the product has really developed and evolved as we've seen more and more people, you know, needing to communicate and express themselves, not just externally, but also internally within their organizations as well.
Absolutely. Kind of how does marketing carry through all of this? Did you guys start with, you know, brand awareness, top of funnel, and then move to direct response? Or kind of how has that adapted alongside all of the changes that you guys have gone through?
How has the adoption adapted?
I don't know what's gotten into me.
We were a small startup, you know, 10 years ago when I started, there was probably about five of us, and we had raised a small, seed funding round to get us off and going, but we needed to be pretty scrappy. And so I think, you know, we focused first and foremost on the product experience and really making sure that we were serving this really acute pain point that we observed people had. And so that focus on the product experience was actually critical because, you know, the sort of community and sense of love for the product that was fostered in those early days actually fueled our word of mouth, and adoption. And so, continued to focus on the product, and that's really been, our priority the whole way along. In the early days, obviously getting the word out and sort of telling the story, we needed to be, really scrappy. We definitely didn't have, marketing budget or anything like that back then. So it was a lot of, earned PR and content, a lot of social, building community, and things like that. And, over time that sort of gathered steam. We also invested, really heavily in sort of, organic strategy, so SEO and getting the rich content that is inside Canva, out there and discoverable, became sort of a huge lever. And then a sort of few years in, we started to add in performance marketing and then in the last few years brand as well. So I'd say we really focused on building that funnel from the bottom up.
Yeah, I think that the elephant in the room, obviously, is Google's third-party cookie is crumbling, kind of throwing a wrench in a lot of marketing plans as that starts. So curious, now that we've layered in the performance and the brand, like does Google's crumbling third-party cookie impact the way that you guys buy media, market, target, anything like that?
Not really. No, I mean, we've seen it coming, obviously, for a long time now. And ultimately, I think our sort of philosophy around our community and how we think about the platform, is very user-centric. And so I think ultimately anything that, protects the user at the end of the day is the right thing. And so, I think we've really built our marketing strategy and, measurement infrastructure and sort of optimization with that in mind. So, put a lot of energy into things like our MMM over the past few years. We do a lot of experimentation to understand, what works and resonates for us. And so, we sort of continue to think about things in those ways. Definitely, over time, we've seen playing the long-term game for Canva really being critical to our growth too. So we definitely take a long-term view to brand building and sort of building community and adoption, which I think helps as well.
Yeah, that's kind of been a debate, kind of even in conversational spaces that I've been in, this idea of like, how do you balance creativity and brand awareness with the return on investment, with data and things like this, especially when marketing budgets are under so much scrutiny to make sure that there is money well spent. So how do you guys think about that?
As I sort of shared, I think, at the end of the day, our North Star is really empowering the whole world to design. So every individual, every organization. And so we always, come at things with that long-term view, whether it's building the products that we know are going to, maybe not be our biggest products, today or tomorrow, but over time we'll grow into, really incredible use cases and solve pain points for people. Things like presentations, for example, when we first launched that, it was a very small part of product and platform, you know, but over time, more and more people discovered it. The product's really improved and now, you know, it's really a world-class presentation product and that's been shown through the adoption. And so we take that long-term view for product, but we also take it for, you know, for marketing, you know, focusing on communities or markets that really have that long-term potential. And so, you know, we see over a long period of time, you know, people go on a journey with Canva. They might have an initial use case that they, you know, they come in and use us for. It could be something, you know, as simple as a presentation or an event invitation or even something, you know, personal that they might use us for. And then they might not have another need for, you know, a couple months or a year. And then they come back and, you know, a lot of our organizations that, you know, now use us day in and day out sort of started, you know, with that journey. So taking that long-term view of our community and our product and our customers, you know, sort of has served us well. And I think it's going to continue to be, you know, critical for us.
And now let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Have you guys, what's this, I want to, on the idea of community, kind of how does TikTok play into that? I would imagine that it lends itself pretty well, given that there's a lot of entrepreneurs, creatives, and people that use products like Canva on TikTok. So talk to me a little bit about kind of where you guys fit in there.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at a platform like TikTok is really a sort of physical manifestation of our community. You know, and it's kind of, it's really mind-blowing. You know, you jump on there and look at content about Canva and there's literally like thousands and thousands and thousands of people sharing tutorials or cool projects that they've done in Canva. And so, you know, I think we've seen that sharing and community emerge, you know, whether it's on TikTok, on, you know, education platforms like YouTube and Udemy and things like that. So we definitely think a lot about, you know, our own channels, of course, but probably more importantly, I'd say is, you know, this kind of community layer that sort of underpins that. So for example, you know, we've really invested in education. So have a platform called Design School at Canva where we, you know, publish tutorials and run workshops, you know, both online and sort of in person, you know, to really empower and sort of share the latest and greatest of the products with our community. You know, so that's been, you know, a sort of huge driver for us. We've fostered, you know, official Canva communities as well. So have, you know, several hundred thousand people now in, you know, Canva sort of facilitated communities. It's an incredible community of global teachers that come together and they share, you know, lesson plans and inspiration, you know, with one another and can sort of access our team for, you know, questions or ideas or sort of support. And, you know, similarly, sort of other sort of verticals of interest as well. So, you know, we sort of think about those two things and, of course, continuing to create that product experience that, you know, not only solves the needs that people have, but there's an element of delight and fun. And so, you know, whether it's our onboarding experience or the way that we launch, you know, something like our Magic Studio suite of AI features in a way that, you know, people can have a lot of fun discovering them and playing with them, you know, and then we ultimately see people go and share that on TikTok and YouTube and other platforms as well.
Absolutely. Speaking of the studio and AI and things like this, I know you guys have an in-house agency. Curious, is the in-house agency kind of at the helm of some of these things, the AI initiatives, the brand campaign that you guys got coming up? You know, talk to me a little bit about kind of what the in-house team is responsible for. What are they being tasked with right now?
I guess as you'd probably imagine, one of the first things that we prioritized as we were growing the marketing organization was our internal creative team. Creatives the heartbeat of what we do and what we provide as a platform. And so it was really, really important for us to have, you know, that sort of heart and soul within the marketing organization, you know, that custodianship of our brand. And so, you know, today our internal creative team, you know, runs point across our overall brand ecosystem and architecture, our campaign work, you know, our sort of life cycle performance growth efforts, and production as well. So, you know, whether it's the brand campaign that's you know, going to be in market very soon, or you know, our sort of marquee event, Canva Create, our internal team, you know, really help sort of lead point on that. So that's been a huge asset, I'd say, you know, to being able to move quickly, shape the brand and sort of really reflect, you know, who we are and what we're about. And then, you know, we're sort of able to plug in agencies and sort of support where it really makes sense. And so that model's worked, you know, really well for us today. And it's definitely, you know, something that we're seeing more and more of, I would say as well, you know, organizations really looking at how do they get the right capability in-house and then plug in that external support, you know, to kind of scale things or bring in, you know, fresh thinking in sort of different places as well.
Absolutely. Now let's delve into the AI. It's been, I feel like I haven't been able to escape AI since last year. So talk to me a little bit about kind of you guys' AI initiatives. I know a lot of it is product facing, but like kind of how does that lend itself to marketing, bringing, you know, new customers into the platform, that type of deal?
You know, when I was mentioning earlier, we first launched Canva to really solve this pain point, which was that to create a design, you know, and turn an idea into an outcome was really difficult. And so with the launch of Canva, we really reimagined that process, to fast track the design journey. And I think we saw the opportunity with AI over the past few years being really an accelerant again. So a chance to reimagine, you know, the design process once more. And so last year we launched our Magic Studio suite of features, which is really a sort of AI toolkit to really help across the design workflow, you know, starting with creating a design. You know, I know we all dread that that blank page, you know, and starting from scratch. And of course, like Canva's had templates, which you can search and find something that that could be right, you know, for you. But with AI, we've launched Magic Design. So, you know, with a text prompt, you can generate a design from scratch, depending on what you're looking for, whether it's, you know, a science presentation, you know, on year five chemistry or some fun icebreakers, and you know, we'll sort of generate something there and there for you. Things like Magic Write, so, you know, full text generation functionality, being able to help with generating copy ideas for a campaign, being able to rewrite or edit, you know, and a piece of copy, you know, that's been incredible for, you know, not just our internal team, but marketers. Another one that you know, is probably my favorite is Magic Translate, wherein 100 different languages around the world. So, you know, Canva's used truly globally. But as you can imagine, that creates quite a complex process whenever we're running a campaign or, you know, launching something out into the world. And so, you know, we really created that feature with our own use case in mind. And so with Magic Translate, you know, a sort of marketer can create an asset and then within, you know, a couple of clicks have translated into up to 100 languages. So, you know, as you can sort of see, all these features, plus a whole lot more, really about improving productivity and sort of workflow as well.
Does that become part of kind of the marketing messaging as a way to stand out in the marketplace and that type of thing? Talk about kind of how that's reeled into marketing messaging.
We've really integrated AI quickly into our product, and I think that's been a guiding philosophy for us. You know, there's lots of cool stuff emerging, but it's only as sort of relevant as it is useful for people. And so our whole approach has been, how do we, as quickly as possible, take, you know, the new technology and really embed it into existing workflows. So people are in Canva, you know, every day, tens of millions of people actually creating content. And so we've had this incredible sort of platform to introduce the new technology and sort of really unlock exactly that. So that's been the sort of guiding, you know, philosophy for us. And so you'll definitely see in our marketing, you know, we're still talking about the value and the benefits and the sort of use cases that Canva is known for. But you'll see our AI, you know, tools and features really featured as part of that. You know, I think that's been sort of really critical for us. It's at the end of the day, it's about making the sort of product and user experience, you know, better and more delightful and sort of showing, you know, showing that.
Absolutely. Now, I know you guys have subscription tiers, so I wonder if AI kind of shows up again in like from a marketing perspective to kind of get folks in, to push folks further into the funnel, to get them past the free usage and things like that and bring them into the fold.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely, you know, offered a lot of the functionality across our different offerings. And so, you know, Canva, you can still sign up and use the platform for free, which is definitely a great way to sort of get started, or, you know, if you're using it sort of here and there. We've got the sort of pro subscription, which is really for individuals. And, you know, some of the sort of favorite features there are things like magic resize and sort of productivity and sort of workflow. And then, of course, we've got a Teams product that's really about working together, you know, collaboration and sort of larger organizations sort of unlocking the value of Canva as well. Obviously, across those different groups, there's sort of different you know, needs and sort of interest. And so at the enterprise level, we do offer a lot more control in terms of, you know, the AI features and functionality, you know, which I think is very much top of mind for enterprises right now, you know, data management and really making sure that their teams are sort of using the sort of new technology in sort of brand safe way. So, you know, that's definitely been a sort of important part of our product journey and the offering at the enterprise level.
Actually, I want to dig deeper into that. I know you guys use it internally as well, you know, for your own marketing and for your own, you know, marketing messages and whatnot. So kind of curious, how do you balance like data privacy, AI, responsible usage and things like that as, you know, we're racing toward this next iteration of what marketing looks like powered by AI?
A few things. I mean, first and foremost, we've really, you know, been led by our values and our sort of core product philosophies when it comes to the new technology. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about the end user and sort of what's best for them. I guess, you know, if I talk about the enterprise level, we've, you know, introduced a few things, Canva Shield, sort of first and foremost. So, you know, there's indemnification in terms of use of AI. We've introduced, you know, AI controls as well. So you can really ensure that it's a sort of walled garden, you know, and you sort of have that oversight and control as well. So there are a few other things, but it's been a huge focus you know, for us across the board.
Let's zoom out. We've talked a lot about AI and whatnot, but I want to go back to the idea of kind of how are you guys approaching marketing, but from a media mix perspective this time. Kind of walk me through what the current media mix looks like, and you know, where are you guys investing your media dollars and why those channels are so important?
So it's definitely, sort of 360 full funnel marketing when we talk about the US. So, this year we'll be running our brand campaign, again, and that's really focused on top of funnel awareness and sort of consideration of Canva. So, you'll see spots rolling out across streaming, there's out of home, digital audio, paid social, and that's really about introducing, the breadth of products and really helping, more people kind of discover and sort of become aware of the breadth of Canva's products. We do more sort of paid social and sort of performance marketing that's a little more focused on user acquisition around new products and sort of priority areas that we're focusing on. Huge focus on earned comms, PR and comms still today. That's an incredible driver. Telling the story of Canva, the company, but also of our community, which continues to grow across the board. Whether it's heroing the teachers and students that are using Canva around the world and sort of our education, offering or story or sort of more enterprise led communications as well. So, big focus there. One of our primary focus actually is on our own channels. We've got a product and a platform that 170 million people are coming to each and every month. And so really think about that product experience and, channels like lifecycle, email and push and things like that as, sort of incredible touch points, through our sort of own ecosystem as well. So, definitely think about all of those things sort of working in harmony.
Has any of that changed within the last year or so, especially given, we've had changes to the market, influencers are becoming more important, we've got some more streaming opportunities, things like that?
We've definitely shifted more into streaming, and away from linear. So that's been, sort of one area for us. Social as well, to your point, there's more and more time being spent on those platforms as well. So, that's becoming sort of an increasing part of our mix as well.
And this is not a gotcha question, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask. Obviously, there's been some headlines that you guys recently lost your CFO ahead of IPO. So my question is, does that impact how you guys are able to spend money? Does that impact marketing budget, kind of with that being the case?
Not at all. No, I think we've, had a really sort of long-term focus in that regard and really built out sort of a multi-year plan in terms of, our sort of growth and also, marketing budgets and sort of philosophies there. So, no sort of meaningful, impact on the marketing front. As I sort of mentioned earlier, we're really focused on the sort of big opportunity we have in terms of reaching more and more people and sort of getting the word out, about Canva, building the enterprise business and continuing to sort of embed the sort of AI functionality through the product. And so very much continuing, to focus on all those priorities.
Perfect. And then a second question on IPO here. Obviously, that's been something else that's been in headlines that you guys are prepping for. So kind of curious, given that it's down the road, but given it's on the roadmap, kind of curious, does that impact how you guys, marketing messaging, things like that, given that's on the horizon?
We don't have any sort of concrete, timelines or plans, in that regard. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we have that really clear North Star, sort of for Canva's, long-term impact and the sort of impact we want the product and platform to have. And, you know, that's been the thing that's guided us the whole way along. And of course, you know, if we're focusing on building a great product and really solving those pain points for people, you know, the sort of business results have followed as well. So that's really what continues to guide us.
Yeah. Like what I'm gathering from this conversation is that the product and the people are always at the heart of you guys' marketing strategy, which is an interesting concept because when you have the idea of the marketing landscape constantly changing, it can be hard to maintain a North Star and kind of, you know, how do you hold on to the rails with all of that changing?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it's a really astute observation. Like the world around us continues to change, but those things remain consistent, right? And so, you know, continuing to focus on those and of course, as new technology and channels and sort of methods of engaging with our community emerge, you know, we're definitely focused on, you know, jumping in and learning about those. But at the end of the day, it's still about building a great product and, you know, reaching people with the right message.
Perfect. Well, Zach, those are all the questions that I had. I really appreciate you stopping by the DigiDay podcast today with us to chat.
No worries. Thanks for having me. It's good fun.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the DigiDay podcast. Thank you to everyone for listening, and please don't forget to share this episode with someone who you think would enjoy it. You can even rate us and leave a comment on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back next week with another episode of the DigiDay podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.